This morning is unlike any other morning, and again, it's like every other morning, right? We wake up, we realize that we're alive, we realize there's a battle ahead of us, we realize the battles we came out of, right? And every one of us has come out of battles. Every one of us knows the particular battles that each of us are in. But the greatest battle, anybody know what the greatest battle is? Anybody have a guess?
Against the devil?
That's absolutely right. And can you pinpoint it more, Peggy?
The battle of the mind.
That's right. The battlefield is where?
In the mind.
In the mind. The battlefield is not physical. The battlefield is spiritual. And you may see a battlefield on your street. I've seen them growing up on my street. You might see battlefields in wars and in foreign lands. But when you really come down to it, it's the adversary, the devil, that we're fighting against. And the battlefield is right up here. The fundamental Christian believer... has the notion that once you're born again of God's Spirit, you're safe from the adversary, the devil. That's what a lot of people believe. In other words, once you're born again, the devil can't touch you. And that he can't do anything to them because they belong to Christ. And the scripture that is used a lot of times is 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Now, is that verse true?
Yes. Yes,
it is. This is literally true. From the moment you're born again, this is true. But to believe that the devil is no longer has influence over you is about the height of stupidity. And I'll explain to you why. If it's true, then why do they need to explain how can they explain how the adversary takes advantage of the Christian time and time again? And you've seen it, right? Time and time again, Christians are affected by the devil. The devil actually wants you to believe that you're automatically immunized so he can take advantage of you. He wants you to believe that you're immunized already just by being born again. It's his methods. It's his trick. If the devil really portrayed himself, think about this. If the devil really portrayed himself as who he really is, I think, I'm not certain, but I think that the Christian believer would be smart enough to say, you know, he wants no part of him. You can see that. But the devil doesn't do this. He doesn't come out and actually portray who he really is. He's very subtle. He's very sly. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or tricked Eve through his what?
Subtlety.
So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Why does he say minds? Right? If we're born again, Paul wouldn't have used the word minds, because if we're born again and we're automatically immunized, if we're automatically saved from the effects and the situations and the circumstances that the devil puts around us, then he wouldn't have to say minds, because it's in the mind. Verse 14 and 15, and no, this is what verse 14 and 15 says, "And no marvel." In other words, don't be surprised, "for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Did you know that? The devil himself can be transformed into an angel of light. That's his trickery. "For Satan himself was transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now, I know Nick has many times referred to the church of Satan. And what does he refer that?
The media.
The media, okay. The media, because There's ministers that says the word of God. This was written way before Facebook. The ministers of Satan are transformed also to trick you, right? But it says their end shall be according to their works. Okay, here's the question. Why does the word minds appear in verse 3? That your minds should be corrupted. If the minds cannot be corrupted after we're born again, then why would it say that? Obviously, the minds can be corrupted because the Word of God says the minds can be corrupted. So, it says it because God says what He means, and He means what He says, right? Very simple. The devil uses the circumstances and situations of the world of which he is the God, that hasn't changed yet, he's still the God of this world, to get into our minds and corrupt them. It's very simple. You don't have to be a scientist or a rocket scientist to understand what that's saying there. He doesn't come to you and say, the devil doesn't come to you and say, and if he ever has, let me know. Well, listen, just step aside. I'm taking over today. If he ever said that to you, I don't know what would happen, but you're not going to, he doesn't do that. He's not straightforward like that, is he?
No.
He uses his subtlety, just like he did with Eve, okay? You shall not surely die. He uses his subtlety, his trickery, his slyness. And how does he get into the mind of the believer? How does he get into there, let alone the unbeliever? Have you ever heard of the news? TV? Facebook? Right? Yeah, more like fake book. Right? The devil uses brilliant, and I mean brilliant, organization. He uses brilliant organization in order to operate through these things, through the news, through media, through the TV, through Facebook. He's brilliant in that area. Because he's mastered it. He knows how to organize things, to control things, to control people, to control situations, to control circumstances, to control environment, to control the conditions that we live in. That's what he's after. Okay, and his main objective, the devil's main objective, his main objective is to destroy the Word of God in your minds. That's what he wants. He knows that he can't destroy the Bible. I mean, everybody, the Bible's all over the place. It's the number one selling book, if you didn't know that. But listen, and even in the Old Testament, when they tried to cut it up with a penknife, remember that record, where they tried to destroy the Word of God? His main objective is to destroy the Word of God in your mind, because that's where the Word will live. Because if he can do that, he has you. If he can destroy the word in your minds, he has you. That's why he's closed down all the churches, so that people forget the word. It's the main objective. Don't forget that important truth. He's done a pretty good job of it thus far, wouldn't you agree? Really good job. Okay. Now listen, the devil cannot touch the spirit that is residing in you, the spirit of God in Christ in you. He can't touch it. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. And the verse says, being born again, that's you and me, right? And if you didn't know it, when you confess Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess that with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's being born again. So 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not, and that word not is a big word, not of corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible. The word God says that the Spirit of God in Christ in you is incorruptible. That's why the devil cannot touch the Spirit of God in you. Can't touch it. See, it's incorruptible. So being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. But he can get to your body and your soul. Now, most people, I'm going to tell you, most people don't understand the difference between body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. This is your body. You can touch it, right? That's your body, physically. Your soul is what makes you, you. Your mind, that's your soul life, the blood life. It makes you, it makes Jenny who Jenny is, right? It makes Linda who Linda is, right? It makes Janice who Janice is. That's your soul life, okay? Your blood life. But the spirit is different. So you have body, soul, and spirit. When you're born again, you have the spirit. He can get to your body and soul, but there is the difference. The Spirit of God in Christ in you is incorruptible, the Word says. He cannot touch it. But body and soul is not incorruptible. It's corruptible. If the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come back before you die, will you die?
Yep.
Okay. Will your body corrupt?
Yep.
Of course it does. Have you ever seen, you know, The Walking Dead?
Thankfully,
or zombies or something. I mean, like, they're kind of corrupting, you know what I mean? It can be corrupted. And this is where what? Your mind resides. See? So your minds can be corrupted. Therefore, the minds can be corrupted through the media, fake book, the news, the TV, all right, in which the devil works. He works through all of those things. Why? It's an easy grasp for him. It's easy to get to people through this media. Look, people, don't be fooled. Make no mistake about this. Your minds can turn into a toilet just as easily as most unbelieving unbelievers. As the most unbelieving unbeliever, as his mind can turn into a toilet, so can the believer. Okay? Because it's corruptible. This is why we're going to take a good look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. And this morning, I'm just calling it a study of 2 Corinthians 10:5. Okay? A study of 2 Corinthians 10:5. And we're going to break this verse down to as much as I could to its minutest detail. It's a great verse to understand in this day and time. We live in a war right now, and I'm going to say that you're going to live in a war until you die or until Christ comes back. All right. 2 Corinthians 10:5. The verse says, everybody there?
Yep.
Verse says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What a great verse. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see how great this is as we break it down. All right, casting down. The very first two words, casting down. It's the Greek word, and I'm not going to get into all the pronunciations. Katharuntai, root word is kathareo. It's to take down, to pull down, to demolish, to throw down, to destroy, to put an end to. All right. And guess what kind of term that is? It's a military term. That is actually a military term that's been used. It's present. It is a present participle, which means that so it's continuous action. It doesn't stop. So the Word of God says if it's present participle, it means that we continue. There is no end to casting down, to destroying, to demolishing. All right, to overthrow. Look at verse 3 and 4 of that same chapter. Verse 3 and 4. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, now everybody here walks in the flesh. We have a body. We have a soul. We walk in the flesh. We live. Okay? After we walk, even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. See the context? It's warring after the flesh, warring after the physical things. It's a war. For the weapons of our warfare, there it is again, warfare, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's another military term, strongholds. You ever see forts? You know, the forts, you watch, you know, Cowboys and Indians. They have forts and stuff, you know. Some of them are like F Troop, you know, those kind of forts. Remember that one? And some are a little more serious. I remember the chief of the Hekawis. Somebody asked him how they got their name, the Indians, yeah. And we were roaming one day, he said, roaming and roaming. And he was looking around, he stopped and he said, "Where the heck are we?" So that's how they got their name. They didn't know where they were. So, and verse 5. So verse 5 is in alignment with these military terms, okay? Don't take it out of context. It's in alignment with the military thought and the concept. All right, let's go to the next word, imaginations. Casting down imaginations. That's the Greek word logismus, or logismos is the word. And the root word to that is Lego. Have you ever heard the word Lego?
Huh.
Do you know what a Lego is?
Yeah.
Have you ever played with Legos? Okay. Lego. L-E-G-O. Now here's an interesting... I'm no extra charge for this one. I'm going to throw it in for you. Okay. Lego. The meaning of Lego is to lay, to arrange, to gather, to say. Okay. What do you do with Legos? You lay them out. You arrange them. Okay. You start building. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. I'm going to read it to you. Then Joseph, her husband, this is Mary's husband, and Joseph, Jesus' foster father. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought, and that's the word imaginations, that's the Greek word logismos, while he thought on these things, and where did he think? In his finger? In his mind. While he thought on these things, the mind, which can be corrupted. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take Mary unto thy wife, unto thee for thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So this word, logismos, or logismos, is the act of computing. That's the literal definition. The act of computing. Where? In your mind. Computation in your mind. It's a thought. It's a reckoning. The reckon. Did you ever hear? I watch Westerns. I like Westerns, okay? And you know, sometimes you see somebody saying, well, I reckon. Mm-hmm. What's he doing? He's thinking. I reckon that they're down the road there. We should get a posse. He's computing in his mind. See? He's reckoning. I reckon. So that's the word. Reckoning. We systematically arrange thoughts in our minds. What do you do with Legos? They are a systematic arranging. Right? It takes thought. That's Lego. It's amazing how that word is, we still have it. See? Like little kids, they don't know that they're speaking Greek already. Play Legos. See? So we systematically arrange thoughts in our minds, computing thoughts. We're reckoning, I reckon. We actually go through the process of computing our thoughts and lay them out and eventually speak them. What's in your thoughts, you eventually are going to speak. And there's a verse that tells you that. The mouth speaks from the heart, which is to say the mind. Okay? That's your heart, your mind. Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? And then it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is it talking about the physical pumper, the heart? No, because it doesn't talk. The heart, when the word talks about the heart here, it talks about your mind. It's you. It's what makes you, you. And what makes you, you, what you're thinking, what you're computing, is eventually going to come out of your mouth, right? That's where it's going to come. So the next word is every. Word every is a very simple word. It's the word P-A-N, pan. And it means everything, every place, every time. See? Every. So far, we've gotten casting down these thoughts, imaginations, and every what? Next two words, high thing. Every high thing, not just some. It's making a point of every high thing. And the word every is the word hupsoma or hupsos, the root word hupsos. It means height, exaltation, dignity, eminence, lofty, elevated, okay, the high things. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind, it's amazing the way how the word mind comes up in the scriptures. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So this is the word high things. We've seen, don't you see a lot of high things going on right now? People trying to control what you do, high places, okay? Okay, so we're supposed to cast down, destroy every high thing in our mind. The word, the next two words, exalteth itself. Everything that exalteth itself, every high thing. It's the word epero, it's the root word. Eperomenon is the word, but epero, the root. To lift up, to raise, to elevate, to hoist. This is also in the present tense, and so it's a continuous action. They're always exalting themselves. Okay, the devil is persistent in his quest. He doesn't quit through the media that he utilizes. He doesn't quit because he knows that it works. That's why he doesn't quit it. He knows it works. Because if you had a great success in something, would you quit? If it was profitable to you and you're very successful, would you quit it? No, you'd be stupid to quit it. Why would you quit? He's had and has continues to have great success in corrupting the minds through these means of the media. It's a continuous action with him. It doesn't stop. Okay, and the next word is against. Kata just means to put down, against, to throw down. Against? Against what? The next word? The knowledge. The knowledge. You know what the word knowledge is? Many of us might be familiar with the word genosis. Genosko? Okay, knowledge. It's the word genosis or genosko. It's the knowing. It's the recognition or the understanding of a thing, of something, genosis. So, against the knowledge. It's knowledge acquired by learning, by effort, or by experience. Many times we've heard that, you know God by experience, genosko. We know God by experience. Have you ever had an experience with God? Okay. Probably all of us have had some type of experience with God personally. And did that make you or help you to get to know God better?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the word know. It's not just know by seeing. It's know by experience. That's the word. Okay. It's a knowledge acquired by learning, effort, or experience. It's in the genitive case. And it's the genitive of origin. Guess what the origin is? It tells you in the next two words.
God.
Right, of God. Knowledge of what? Of God. That tells you that it's in the genitive, the origin, genitive of origin or origination. It originates from who? God. Very simple. You don't have to be a scholar to understand that, right? It's not the knowledge of news. It's not the knowledge of the newspaper or the latest periodical. It's not the knowledge of fake book. It's not the knowledge of, what you hear in the cigar shop. The knowledge of God. It's simple. It's so simple. Most of the Word of God is literally understood. Only about 15% of it is figures of speech. Although the figures of speech come up a lot and they are emphasized, most of it is understood literally. Okay. Today, the knowledge of God, His Word, it's not respected, right? You can agree with that. Nor is it even acknowledged by the world or the media. All right, we're going to read Romans 1, starting in verse 16. Let's read this together. Okay, so turn to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, who can tell me what the word gospel literally means?
Good news.
Good news, right? That's the opposite of the bad news. Just to make sure everybody knows, right? The opposite of bad news, which we find all over the place in the world. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone, not just some, but to everyone that believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. Verse 20, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Look, we have the Word of God. It's without excuse. Okay, you've got the Word in your hands. You've got the Word in your minds, in your heart. We are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. This is so familiar in the world today. We've taken God out of the, is it the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah.
It's not one nation under God anymore. It's just one nation. Right? But God said, the nation that looks to me, I will heal their land. That's what he said. And it's still true because God doesn't change. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own, what? Imaginations, their own thoughts, their own computations, their own... I swear they had to be sit behind closed doors every day and think of how they can degrade God and his word. And they have to be doing this. Whether subtly or outright or straightforward, they're doing it. Okay. They're not thankful. They became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And that's much of the world today. Much of the world, most of the world, has become darkened. Verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise. Well, they're all wise. They're all running for office, and they're all wise, and they're all going to fix your problems the day that they get in. And they all make promises to fix your problems, even though they haven't done them in 100 years. They're still going to fix your problems the day that they get into office. Right? Professing in themselves to be wise, they became fools. This is God's word, people. Verse 23, and they changed the glory of God, the glory of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things, and all kinds of things. And this is referring to how, biblically, what was going on, but it's still going on today. Right? Verse 24, wherefore, because of this, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. The lusts of their own hearts. Not the hearts of those who they're trying to serve, or they're trying to, you know, the people of the world. But their own hearts, the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now listen to this. Verse 25, who changed, these people, who changed the truth of God into a what? A lie. Have things changed from this century to the 21st century? To the 21st century? Have things changed? No, not at all. It's the same thing, different day, same thing. And worshipped and served the creature, or the creation, that is to say, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, worthless, worthless affections. For even their women, listen closely, even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. They changed it into against to what God had intended. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, didn't leave the men out, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men working with men, that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. All right, I'm not going to get into all that, but God says it's dead wrong. Yep. All right. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or good or profitable. Okay, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. We find this all over the place, okay? Just turn the TV on. That's all you got to do is turn the 6 o'clock news on. You'll find it. Or any of those late night shows. Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God. We see that very clearly, especially in the political world today. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of what?
Yeah.
Whoa. I didn't write this thing. Okay, I just printed it out.
It's in a book.
Called the Word of God. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. All right, Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. The wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And that's what we just read. All right, when Pilate asked the question, he asked Jesus the question, what is truth? I think it's in John 18, right? Jesus had already qualified that answer earlier. He qualified the answer to that question. In John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Okay? Thy word is truth. So logically, we should be going to the Word of God for truth, not to the media. Bringing into captivity is the next couple of words. Bringing into captivity, another military term. This is filled with war here. It's the word, I can't even say this word. Aikamaltizonotes. And the root word is just as bad. Alkamalatizo. Oh, well, anyway, it's to lead captive. To capture. All right, to lead captive and to capture. That's the same. We're back in first studying 2 Corinthians 10:5. Yeah, to bring into captivity. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's to lead captive to capture. That's the literal definition of that word. Again, this is active present tense, which means it doesn't stop. It's a continuous action. Remember that. Active present tense. It's important in this verse. It's all active present. Right now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, right now. Because right now will be tomorrow. And then the next day will be right now. It doesn't stop. I don't know if I said that right, but you know what I mean. Right. It's a continuous action. We just don't stop working our minds, okay? We don't stop working your mind because the war is not over yet. Okay? You know, I wish it were, but it's not. And the battlefield is in the mind. The sooner we recognize this, the better off we'll be able to handle all the wiles, all the methods, all the tricks, and all the subtlety of the adversary, the devil. We take these thoughts as prisoners of war. That's what it says. Literally, it's saying to take it and take these thoughts as prisoners of war. No mercy. Romans 7:23. But I see another law in my members, the body, warring, there's that word again, warring against the law of my what? Mind. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Okay, so this is a war time and war terms. Next word is every, again, pan, every place, every time, everywhere. You do it every place, every time, wherever you are. You bring every, the word, P-A-N, pan, every thought, lead captive, every thought, not just some thoughts. Well, this thought I'm going to leave here, but this thought I'm going to lead captive. Okay, every thought. Okay, every thought. And thought is an interesting word. It's the word nosema or nous. Not noose, not this kind of noose, but N-O-U-S, noose. It's the root word. And it literally means the mind, the intellect, the understanding, the judgment, thought, or frame of mind. That's the word noose. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the what?
The noose.
Yeah, the minds, right. Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Remember what I said earlier, that his main objective is to destroy the word of God in your minds? All right, well, let's read that again. It says, lest he does it because he doesn't want the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Okay? He blinds the minds. He doesn't want the word of God in your minds. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, Paul, by revelation saying, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We read that earlier. So it's every thought leads every thought captive. Every single frame of mind, your thought, your judgments, your understanding, your intellect. The next word is the word to. Every thought captive to. It's the word EIS, ice. It literally means into the interior. Okay, into the interior. It's the accusative case. That may not mean a whole lot to you, but it's saying, it's denoting motion to. A motion to or unto. So literally, this to is literally the word unto. It's an object with the purpose of reaching or touching it. Here's a perfect example. You draw a line here, okay? And here's you over here. You draw another line until it touches the other line. That's to the interior, touching, okay? So it's unto, meaning you reach an end to. You reached it. You reached the line. So it says... motion to or unto an object with the purpose of reaching it or touching it. All right. When a line is drawn to meet another line, that's what it means. And what is the object that you're touching or reaching? It's the next word.
Obedience.
What?
Obedience.
Obedience. That's the next word. See, I told you. It's literal. You don't have to be. You have to figure out. You don't have to be a great drummer and understand this, right, Cheppy? You don't have to be a brainiac to figure all this out, okay? Unto obedience. And obedience is the word hupakoen, hupakus, the root. To give ear to listen to obey, to render submissive acceptance, to be submissive, as submissive acceptance. It means listen to the end of obeying. That's, here it is. Here's obedience, and here's you drawing the line, right? And you are submissive to the end of obeying what? The word, right? All right, so it's listen to the end of obeying. In Matthew 8:27, but the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? See? Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, which is the word, which was delivered you. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. Guess who the angels are? Guess who the angels are? Us. Because it says when he comes back, the first time, he's not taking vengeance. When he comes back for us, it's a gathering together. We meet him in the air. Those that have died in Christ will rise, and we, in the twinkle of an eye, just in a moment, will meet them in the clouds in the air. So shall we ever be together with them, with the Lord. Okay? This is when he comes back again with us. We are those angels, taking vengeance on them who know not God. Boy, that's going to be quite a day, huh? All right. Yep. Did you know that you are servant to whom you obey? Yep. Romans 6:16 says it. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. And that's exactly what, let's say, the government is trying to do to us right now, is to be our, to obey them, and we are servants to them. Yep. Right? Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. I want to read to you the Amplified Version, and I have it right here. And it's a good thing I have these glasses, because this is really small print here. This thing. I'm going to read to you the Amplified Version of 1 Peter chapter 1. So you can go there if you want, but I'm going to read the Amplified Version of 1 Peter. Let me get there. 1 Peter chapter 1, and starting in verse 14. And this, keep in mind, this is the reason why we obey. Verse 14, okay. Live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance, when you did not know the requirements of the gospel or the good news. But as the one who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy. You know what the word holy means? It means to be set apart, separated. You yourselves be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. Verse 16, for it is written, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. That's written in Leviticus. Okay, verse 17, and if you call upon him as your Father who judges each one impartially according to what he does, then you should conduct yourselves with true reverence throughout the time of your temporary residence on the earth. Temporary, whether long or short. He had to throw that in. Verse 18, you must know or recognize that you were redeemed or ransomed from the useless and fruitless way of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, like that of a sacrificial lamb without blemish or spot. It is true that he was chosen and foreordained, destined and foreknown for it, before the foundation of the world, but he was brought out to public view, made manifest in these last days, at the end of the times, for the sake of you, for your sake. Verse 21, through him you believe in or adhere to and rely on God. This is how we rely on God, through Jesus Christ, who raised up from the dead and gave who raised him up from the dead and gave him honor and glory, so that your faith and hope are centered and rested in God. Since by your obedience to the truth through his Holy Spirit, you have purified your hearts for the sincere affection of the brethren, see that you love one another fervently from a pure heart. You have been regenerated, or born again, is the word regenerated, not from a mortal origin or seed or sperm, but that's corruptible, remember. Your seed and sperm is corruptible. So when your daddy put seed and made that seed and made that egg grow in the mommy, it's corruptible from the moment it's, you know, conceived or done. It's corruptible. That's what it's saying here. We're not talking about, he said, from a mortal origin, but from one that is immortal. Remember I said the spirit is incorruptible, which means it's immortal, by the ever-living and lasting word of God. That's the amplified version of 1 Peter 1:14-23. That's the reason why we lead captivity captive. Every thought captive, captivity. He's already led captivity captive. We lead every thought captive. Okay. And so to close this morning, I'm just going to read the English Standard Version of 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Okay. And we just took an in-depth look at 2 Corinthians 10:5, and it showed you the warfare that we're in and how we are to conduct ourselves. All right, this is the English Standard Version of 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. See? And so this verse always intrigued me because it was such a powerful, you know, it actually teaches you what to do with your mind and why to do it. Okay. So Heavenly Father, thank you for the greatness of your word, which is always great and always will be great. God, we're thankful that we have the opportunity in this day and time to still obey Christ, to still obey the Word of God, and to still renew our minds to the Word of God, which proves your Word is true. Thank you, Father, for all the believers here today and for our minds holding the very simple things and very simple truths of God's Word so that we can continue to prosper and have you prosper us in our walk. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.